Hey, good evening to everyone. I'm glad to meet with you this day on another day that our Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. I welcome you on this day where we commemorate Palm Sunday, and we will be talking about Palm Sunday as well as Holy Week on today. We're going to deviate somewhat from our regular study because of the season that we are in, which is Holy Week, which started today, and is commonly called Holy Week. And we will talk about that more on this evening. First of all, I greet all of you. I'm glad to see each one of you. Some of you, I noticed some names that I haven't seen. There's Sister Piper. Glad to see Sister Piper with us. God bless you. Glad to see everyone. Whether I can see your face or not, we're glad to be here. God's children. So some of God's children. He has many children. And I welcome you in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to, as you know, well, let me say who I am. I'm Sister Velma Jean Sanders, teacher of the Contemporary Bible class. Most of you know that, but everyone may not. So it's good whoever's always leading the class or whoever's in front of you needs to identify who they are. We don't want to assume all the time that everybody knows, especially at the beginning of a class. We are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. However, because of this special season that we are in, this season where we commemorate our Lord Jesus in a special way, we remember him every day. You know, every day with Jesus is a good day and a sweet day and much to remember and know and learn about Jesus. But we're going to talk about this Holy Week that is commonly called that we are in on today. That will be our subject for the most part. And by the Spirit, you know, the Bible is one book. It connects together. And it's going to, by the Spirit, we'll see how the Spirit leads. Our study in Luke will link right back up to our study, well, our current study in Luke, where we're talking about Luke chapter 17. That's where we are. However, I do believe, and we'll see how the Spirit leads, that it's going to hook right back up where we're going to continue in class on next week. And I need to make an announcement about next week's class. So I need everyone's attention here. Today, next Sunday, is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. As most of you know that, we will not have our regularly timed Sunday school class. Normally, our class, the Contemporary Bible class, as you know, normally is held each Sunday at 6:30 p.m., from 6:30 to 7:30. That's our normal schedule class time. However, because of Resurrection Sunday, as well as the commencement the day after of Salem Baptist Church's anniversary, but primarily because next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, we are going, our class time, instead of being at 6:30 next week, will be at 1 o'clock. And that's for whoever can come. I realize a lot is going on, will be going on Resurrection Sunday with families and celebrations and all kind of things. But for those who can and want to still meet for class, we will have class on Zoom at 1 o'clock next Sunday. And that's for that Sunday only. We will resume our regularly scheduled class time the following Sunday back to 6:30. So for one Sunday only, next Sunday, class will be held at 1 o'clock on April 17th. Then we'll revert back to our regular scheduled class time. And I'll try to announce that at the end, again, at the end of class. Okay, so let's go to our God in prayer, and then we're going to continue on in our class. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, offering praise and glory to you. And we add in our hosannas with a host of others around the world, giving glory to God, giving glory to you, Lord God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Yes, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We praise you, Lord Jesus, the King has come. We praise you, Lord Jesus, the lowly one came meek and lowly. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's just so much we could say about you, Lord. But we want to say today, right now, Hosanna. And we ask you now by your Spirit to be our teacher, our leader, our guide, our path, and show us glories of the Christ in ways that only you can do. Only you can show us your glory. And we ask you, Lord, to show us your glory. And Lord, may we reflect your glory in a special way. Oh, Lord, may you see yourself in us. Thank you for being with us all day long. Thank you for keeping us in your care through all the different twists and turns in life. You are our faithful God. You are our rock. And we praise you and we thank you. I ask you now to lead this class in the way that you would have it to go. And I'll be careful, we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. Forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. We pray for the absent part of us, those who want to be with us and could not for whatever the reason. We remember them in prayer. And now, Lord, carry us forth and lead us by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening to all of you who have just joined us. We're continuing on this Sunday only, and our topic for today will be, if I'm going to put a topic on it, this is what is commonly called Holy Week. And you could attach many names to it, but one title and this is for the Christian faith. Now, we are members, for those of us who believe and confess Jesus Christ as Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. And we are followers of Christ, and we are committed to following him. We have been born again by his Spirit, and therefore we are united in the body of Christ, one body in Christ, comprised of many members. And in this particular dispensation that we are in, we are a part of the church age. So, and that started, as we know, on the day of Pentecost. It still continues today, the church age. But we're here today on this day where all over the world, and I'm sure you heard today, or were in tune one way or the other, that today is what we call Palm Sunday. And we need to know, I mean, many know, but many others may not know, why is it called Palm Sunday? Well, we're going to talk about that, not in depth, because I want to cover, by God's grace, this entire week that we are now entering into or in, which is called Holy Week. And that is another title. It is called Holy Week. It's the commencement today. Holy Week commences with Palm Sunday. Well, Palm Sunday, as we know, and let's go to a scripture and look at, let's first of all go to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, and we'll be going to several scriptures this evening. But let's start at Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And this is a scripture that we've been to many times in Luke. It is a foundational scripture in Luke, and we're going to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Now, some of these scriptures, they're all going to blend together somewhat, but there are different parts and quote components of it. Even trying to put together Holy Week, there are a lot of things that happen in that week and leading up to that week, in the week, during the week of what we call Holy Week. A lot of things that happen. We will not be able to cover them or even mention them all, not even mention all of the quote high points, but we will mention as much as we can as the Lord leads. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, and verse 22, let's go back to verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And Luke chapter 9, verse 18 says, "And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am?" So we see Jesus has his question that he has put on the table. He wants the consensus of the crowd. Jesus had been praying alone. His disciples joined him. He asked them, "Who are people saying that I am?" That's the question. That's still a good question today. Who are people saying that Jesus is? And that is a question for each one of us to answer personally. It demands an answer. Who do you say that I am? So the answer comes back in verse 19. They answered and said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." So you can see there's different answers to that question. There still is today. Now, there's only one true answer, but if you take a consensus of a crowd of people, you'll get all kind of answers. So it was right here in verse 9. Some say he was John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say one of the old prophets has risen again. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And again, that demands an answer from each one of us. Who do we say that Jesus is? Now, right there, it's just using pronouns here, talking to his disciples. So in verse 20, there he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And then the answer comes back, and we've heard this through the years. Those of us who've been in Bible study, we've heard Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And you notice that it says the Christ of God. And Jesus, strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Now, we studied this. It's been probably couple of years ago, but we studied, we've been in Luke, and we've covered this passage. But I want to link it today. Let's go back and look at this. Now, this prior to this, the disciples, Jesus had not prior to this, well, when they said, "You are the Christ of God," that's in verse 20. That's who they said. And Peter, you all know what Peter said. And then Jesus says this, and we would say, well, that's strange what he would say in verse 21. The Lord Jesus warns them, and he commanded them, "Don't tell this." And we studied that. So he's silenced at this moment in time here. He silenced those disciples from confessing publicly to the people that he was the Christ, okay? So that happened here, and it says it right here, that Belma didn't make it up, that Jesus strictly warned, and he commanded them to tell this to no one. Don't tell anybody who I am. Don't tell them I'm the Christ. Now, that's for a limited time, but it's going to connect with our study for tonight. Because on tonight, we will see, and let's look at it now. And this is where it's going to link up to Palm Sunday. Because on Palm Sunday, which is the what we call it Palm Sunday, where Jesus, let's hold on to Luke 9, but let's go to Luke. I want to go to John. Hold on to Luke 9, but let's go to John 12. So if you can, hold on to Luke 9, and let's go to John chapter 12. Now, we could go to other scriptures, but I'm looking for particular words and phrases right now. So that's why let's go to John chapter 12. And when we get to John chapter 12, I'm trying to turn my page to verse, and I'm going to Palm Sunday, John chapter 12, verse 12. So John chapter 12, verse 12. Okay, I got several pages holding and trying to get some water too. So John chapter 12 here, It says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Okay, so now we're talking about Palm Sunday, but I'm going prior to Palm Sunday. But what we're seeing here in John 12, the next day, a great multitude had come to the feast. Now, I want you to notice there, they had come, a great multitude had come to the feast. Now, we're in this season of time that we're in, what we call Holy Week. And Holy Week, quite a lot goes on in Holy Week. So even today, where it's the start of Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week, well, there are several things going to happen on this week. And in verse 12 here, John chapter 12, verse 12, a great multitude had come to the feast. And that still people are gathering together, even this week, even this evening, for feast. And, you know, in the season we're in, well, let me keep reading here. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to where? He's coming to Jerusalem. And we know that had been going on in our study, but we see it again here. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees, and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, we know that's what we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters into the city on this colt into Jerusalem. And that's what we normally, you know, that's what the scripture lets us know. The commencement of Holy Week starts right here, all right? If you had to put an exact time, per se, on it, this is the commencement of Holy Week, when Jesus enters into the city on this donkey or colt. Now notice the praises that go up to him. Notice the praise from the crowd. The crowd say, now these words, we're familiar with them somewhat, but they say Hosanna, which is an exclamation of praise, an exclamation of joy, of jubilance. And they say, the crowd says, talking about Jesus, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right? So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The King, and that's what I want you to notice now, he is called the King of Israel. So all of this is hooking up. You know, we're part of this body of Christ, and this being with the Lord, there's a lot to it. And in this verse here, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King. The King, notice now it's the King of Israel. Jesus went on, found the donkey, and then he said, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Commencement of Holy Week. Jesus coming as the King. Now, it's in picture form. I mean, he did come as the King, but it's also in type form. We know it's a picture when he rode on that donkey. Yes, that happened. But that was like a, you know, the Old Testament is full of types and pictures and illustrations, a sample. You know, it's like God will give a preview of things to come. Well, Jesus riding on this donkey into the city of Jerusalem is a preview, per se, of things to come. Well, what is it previewing? What it's previewing is Jesus will come. Yes, he will. He will come again. Not riding on a donkey next time, but riding on the horse, crowned with many crowns. So this Palm Sunday, illustrating forth that the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come again as Savior. He has come as Savior, as King, and as Lord. So that's the commencement here of Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters into the city, and now we see him allow the crowd, quote, allow the crowd, because before he had told the crowd, don't say anything. See, that's what was going on in Luke 9. If you can get back to Luke 9, where they said, when he asked them in Luke 9, who do the people say that I am? Luke 9, verse 21. And he strictly warned and commanded them, be quiet. Don't tell this to no one. So he hushed them from, and I'm going to use this word, confessing. Even though Peter did confess, and we do confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God. But at this point in time, the Lord Jesus told those disciples, Peter and the rest, don't say it. Well, they were not released to say it, that he is the King that is coming. That's what they said in John here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And Jesus received that glory as the King publicly. Now, prior he had told them, be quiet, and he hushed them. And you all know, because we've studied this and we've been reading our Bibles and everything, but we do need to review things. and be reminded and be refreshed and learned anew. Well, when he did allow them to say who he was, now when I'm looking at Luke 9 here, Luke 9 verse 22, and I do need to get some water here. In Luke 9, 22, okay, 21, Luke 9, 21, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this, to no one that I am the Christ. Verse 22, saying, now he's going on now, saying the Son of Man, now he's prophesying about himself. What's going to happen between this passage here up to in between this passage here and Palm Sunday? There will be some things that will happen prior. So right here in verse 22, the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus, must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So right there in a capsule, we can say, is a Jesus lets us know what's going to happen between now and when he goes into Jerusalem on the donkey. Before all of that, there's going to be things that will happen and happen up to that and afterwards. So he lets the disciples know that he will suffer many things. Now this, he suffered many things throughout his life. You know, he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, sufferings, but there's a particular period of Jesus's life. And I say that reverently because he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. There are all kinds of griefs that we don't even know about and sorrows. But there was a particular period of time where it's like the pouring out of sorrows upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it tells us in 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer. So Holy Week, now let's think for a minute, what we call Holy Week, what happens during Holy Week? Well, Holy Week commences, we say, with Palm Sunday. And then if you pull out any kind of calendar, important dates calendar, which I did today, and we know this, most of us, starts all these calendars, Palm Sunday. And then the next thing on the calendar, they will have Good Friday. Then Passover begins at sundown. And then Easter. That's on the calendars. Look up a calendar and you'll see Palm Sunday. And we know about that. We know we're headed to Good Friday. We know this Friday coming up, this coming Friday, Good Friday. Passover begins at sundown. That happens in there. And we say Passover. That's very important. All of this holy days, coming together, commencing at the same time. So all about Jesus here. All about Jesus. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Passover begins at sundown and Easter. All right? So that's on calendars on you know, all kind of holidays on these calendars nowadays. But this is part of our Christian faith that we believe as Christians. Now you notice, because Passover is right in there, so we have these holy days coming together centered around Jesus, the Lamb of God. Palm Sunday, I know this by heart. Good Friday, Passover, Resurrection, all together. Now, this is a big topic here, so let me keep going. So in verse 9:22, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, all right? So there's the sufferings of Christ. We enter into his sufferings. He will enter into his sufferings. And then it says, after the suffering, well, coinciding together, he will be rejected by men. And Isaiah lets us know that thousands of years ago, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So he will be rejected. And there will come that culmination point where he is rejected. And then it goes on to say, and be killed. And these are different steps. There's different successive steps that's happening all throughout this Holy Week. And it's impossible to say it all in these few minutes that I have. It's already after 7. I need to move a little faster. And so here, the scribes, he will be killed. But we can't stop there. He will be killed and be raised the third day. So we see in that one verse, death, burial, well, I want to start at death. I want to start at sufferings. The sufferings of Christ, the rejection of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, because where it says be killed, that is the crucifixion. The be killed is crucifixion. And be raised, resurrection, on the third day. All right? So that's happening in there. Now let's go to, I stopped at John chapter, we were in John talking about Jesus coming as the king. And he allowed the people at this point now to publicly confess him as king. Remember, he had silenced them in Luke chapter 9. Don't say that, don't tell it. Well, the minute they said and began to confess Jesus permitted it, according to the Father's will, that he would be confessed as the king coming. The king has come. And they said, Hosanna. Well, what happened immediately after that? Immediately after the Lord, in God's time frame, let the people say, Hosanna to the king. And that was the thing. He is the king. And what did that quote set off? Next step is crucifixion. So when it was God's timing for the lamb to be slain, that's going to happen, the crucifixion here, Jesus didn't let him say who he was as that king, who he was coming as the king. That's when he silenced them. But now that he's at the point of crucifixion, at the point of his suffering, at the point of his death, he allows, it's the Father's will, that he comes forth, he's the king, and the next step is going to be kill him, crucify him, because he didn't come as the king that they were looking for or that they were expecting him to come as that kind of political leader king. Jesus came a different way, and he was rejected by many, by masses. So that's part of why, I can't say it all in these few minutes here, that Jesus silenced the people from saying he is the Christ. He is the Christ. Well, what does that mean, he's the Christ? Because we say as Christians, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that what we say? That's part of our confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you should confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, believe it in your heart. See, Jesus Christ, well, that Christ brings in that Messiahship, the King, Jesus, the Savior, all of that coming together in Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, he's the King. Jesus, he's the Savior. Christ, he's the anointed one of God. All of it commencing in him. Oh, this is a wonderful story here. And it's more than a story. But this whole Bible fitting together. And it's huge, it's big. And it's centering around Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Now, I can't say everything that I want to say and would like to say. So let's go to a lot of scriptures we could go to, but let's go to Genesis 12. Let's go there. Let's go back to Genesis 12. And I'm skipping over a lot. And that's where we'll keep on and study. We'll keep on and study. Next week, Lord willing, we'll get back to our regular study. But since this is Holy Week, we're entering in, we do need to pause and linger and say a little something, you know, the best we can. Genesis 12. Let's go back to Genesis 12. And we actually could go back, because when we talk about Lord Jesus Christ, well, you have to think of what's happening in here. Well, Jesus Christ, he is a lot of things. He is the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. We have to wonder, why is he called the Lamb of God? Well, the Lamb, we know, and that started even before Genesis 12 here, where God had that animal was slain right after Adam and Eve sinned there. And God covered them with that skin, you know, and that was a preview of Jesus who is yet to come. Well, here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and keep in mind, we're still talking about Lord Jesus Christ and all of this coming together, meeting in Jesus, the Lord, Jesus, and the Christ. Well, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Notice that God now, in covenant relationship, establishing new dispensation here. God says, I, talking to Abraham, the father, quote, Father Abraham. And we say father because he's head of a nation coming here that God's bringing forth. I will make you a great nation. What's so special about Israel? What's so special about Israel? Well, part of the answer right in here. God said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation that has never been revoked. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you, praise the Lord, his good news for us, in you, Abram, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's going to bring in all of us, you know, because we know about Jew, Gentile, but we're all the family. Provision has been made through Jesus that all the families of the earth can be blessed. Now, so, you know, Abraham had many sons. Father Abraham had a lot of sons. You know, we know there's Isaac and Ishmael, and that family tree started splitting on off there. But Abraham, the father, the patriarch of that nation, all right? So God, now, how is this fitting in? Lord, help me. Help me to say this. I'm trying to say it right. So God, talking to Abraham, blessing Abraham, and promising that all the families of the earth, all the families that brings in us, and how do we fit in with this Abraham? How do we fit in with Israel? What do we have to do with Israel? I mean, us as a race. Well, we're blessed. We can be blessed because if you're up under Jesus Christ, the Lord, and we confess Jesus, believe in Jesus, we're engrafted in. And then we inherit those blessings that came down through Abraham. So Abraham had many sons, but when you're born again, you get in with that promised seed side, the Isaac part. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then there was Ishmael and other sons he had. Well, you have to be in Christ, in Christ. Now, that brings in another aspect that I need to say. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis 3. Because Genesis 3 brings in the seeds. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. I'm trying to focus my eyes here. Genesis 3, verse 14. Now, this is after sin had entered into the earth, through the serpent. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, Genesis 3, 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now I want you to notice there, a lot could be said, but I want you to notice in verse 15, notice the seed. Verse 15, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed, and notice singular, your seed and her seed. See, that's two families coming forth. These two seeds, these two, you either in Jesus or you ain't in Jesus. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're either born again or you're not born again. You're either part of God's seed. And thank God, that's part of why you got to be born again. So, you know, so we can get into the family of God. So verse 15, and between your seed, these are the two great families, per se, of the earth. Either you in Jesus or you not in Jesus. That's it. You either part of, it says, and between your seed, that's God talking to the serpent, and between her seed. Well, her seed is going to hook up with Israel again. And this is way more than I can say right now. Way more, you know, but I'm doing the best I can right now under the time frame and everything. I'm trying to cover a lot. Well, we notice these two different families, these two different seeds. One's coming, and notice that one seed, capital S, that's Jesus. The seed, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, our Savior, who was born of a virgin. And that brings in that virgin, why he had to be born of a virgin. That's how God did it there. that this seed might come forth, and between your seed and her seed. Then it goes on with the warfare that happened, and to some degree still happening, but Jesus has the victory. So these two families are still going forth in the earth, right? Even though it's split out into many ways, many different ways, but things branch out, they branch out, and then they come back down and narrow down. You know, you look at a seed. You look at a seed. I'm trying to hold all these scriptures, so let me let them all go. You look at a seed, per se, or a plant, but you think of that seed, a seed, condensed, all packed up in that one thing, all that life in that seed. Well, this one seed of God, one seed of Satan. God reigns, he rules, he's the head. But you have these two seeds. We have to be born again to get into, to be linked in to Jesus. I hope you all understand. Because we don't come like that. Sin messed us up. So we have to be engrafted back in, born again, back in, born again, regenerated into the family of God. Well, God so loved the world. Let's think about this now. God so loved the world. Well, world brings in who? World brings in that his blood was shed to take care of, you know, provision has been made. Sing hallelujah, God has provided a lamb. A lamb has been provided. Well, how do you get in, though? Well, you have to come in how? Through faith. It's through faith, by grace through faith, are we saved. That's true for Jew. That's true for Gentile. That's true for anybody. You come in the door by grace, by faith. That's the formula for anyone. How is anyone saved? Old Testament or New Testament? It's by grace are you saved? Through faith. Period. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So it's faith, it's grace. It's grace, it's faith. So that's how we get in. Well, Abraham and all of them, they had to believe like I have to believe. Abraham, one of his names is titled Father of the Faithful. Father of the faithful. Well, faithful to what? Our belief that Jesus Christ is Lord, that his blood was shed to pay the price for our sins. Now, when we go on over to Genesis 22, let's go over to Genesis 22. And in Genesis chapter 22, when we get to Genesis 22, I'm trying to get there again. In Genesis chapter 22, here comes Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abram, And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took his saddle donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son. There's a father and son, father and son. Verse 3. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. Offering, offering, offering. Now you have to think of Calvary. Offering. And arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand, and took a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abram his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself for the lamb for a burnt offering. So, and let me finish the verse. So the two of them went together. So right here we see, because we're still moving to Calvary, still moving to Calvary, started with the fall of man and sin. God, in his love for mankind, makes way, provision through all these different sacrifices, all the different types, all the different shadowings that the Lord was showing forth through lambs, through pigeons, through doves, through tabernacles, through wood, all kinds of things. But it was leading up to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, all of these different types and sacrifices. And that's one reason the Old Testament is so much bigger in volume than the New Testament, because the Old Testament gives you all these illustrations. The Old Testament gives you a lot of shadows, a lot of types, a lot of figures in the Old Testament, where when we get to the New Testament, we're not anymore longer in shadow land. Shadow land. What has happened is all those shadows was doing what? Pointing forth to Jesus, the King. Pointing forth to not a four-legged lamb, but a two-legged lamb. Say that reverently. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so this in Genesis is a lamb was provided, you know, the four-legged lamb, and it was slain. That lamb was killed. That lamb was sacrificed. But it didn't cover sin. It held for a season per se, but it couldn't take away sin. Sin could not be taken away until Jesus, the true Lamb of God, came and shed his blood. And it was his blood and his blood alone that can wash away sin. But the sins were perpetuated and they were covered per se, and God accepted those sacrifices until. And that's why you see when Jesus died on Calvary, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Because that sacrifice, the real lamb had come, and the sacrifice, the price for sin, had been paid. And so that's in Genesis a type, many types, many previews, many figures of Jesus coming. But then let's go on over to New Testament. And when we go over to the New Testament, let's go to John. Let's go to John. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. And you all, I realize a lot trying to be said in a few minutes. I realize that. John chapter 1, verse 20, and I realize the topic is worthy of more time. And that's what we've been doing as we go through Luke. So John chapter 1, did I give a verse? John chapter 1, verse 29. And it reads, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. Now, I know that we're in the New Testament now. We've moved from Old Testament to New Testament. And I want you to look. Hold John quickly because our time is moving. But let's go to the first book of the Bible in the New Testament, Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And this is the beginning of the New Testament in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And we know we're in the New Testament, per se, with Matthew. Matthew 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Notice that. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Then it says, the son of David, who's right up to that messiahship, the son of David. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the Christ. He is the son of the living God. Didn't waste no time. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Then backs up again, the son of Abraham. So these three coming together here, Abraham, David, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Well, when we go to John chapter 1, let me go because our time is going. John chapter 1, verse 29. And it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming. Now you got to picture Old Testament meeting up with New Testament. Because Old Testament, we could say from Genesis, we've been in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi in our Bibles. From Genesis to Malachi. But now in verse 29 of John chapter 1, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. And you think in Old Testament, meeting up with New Testament, getting ready to be in exchange now. The baton is getting ready to pass. We're getting ready to pass. It's in transition from all this old changing into a new time. It's changing. I got some steps to go through, but the old is passing away, and it's going to give away to new covenant, New Testament. So verse 29, John 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And think of those two, old and new, coming together, meeting. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, behold, because you all think of John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was that prophet that announced that Jesus is coming. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist is the one going to hand the baton over, as it were, to Jesus. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. It is 7:29. John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. There's that Lamb that we saw way back in Genesis. Behold, the Lamb of God. Talking about two legs now, talking about Jesus the Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that's where we're going to have to end tonight, only because of time. There's a lot more could be said. So I'm just going to have to stop because of time. So you all, I hope you understand, I'm doing the best I could with the time frame that we're under. I did want to commemorate, is Palm Sunday. This is a special season for those in the Christian faith. And we don't want to run over Palm Sunday. We don't want to run over Holy Week. I mean, this is the culmination of it all, that Christ Jesus came to pay the price for sin. Came down to those 40 and two generations to take care of me, to take care of you. Use Abraham, Isaac, all of that to get me in. What a wonderful God that we serve. Father, I offer my five loaves and my two fish of teaching. And that's what it is. My five loaves, my two fish, my mustard seed. My mustard seed. That's what this teaching is tonight. It's just a mustard seed. But you said if I had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And so, Lord, may this teaching meet your mustard seed requirement, that it can move mountains. So, Lord, take the little of my teaching and make it much to your glory. And that seed called Jesus, he is the seed, he is the tree, he is the fruit, he's everything. We praise you, Lord Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God. We give you glory and honor. I offer up this teaching to you, ask you to sanctify it and make it pleasing in thy sight. Be with us through this week. Keep us in your care, and may we offer eternal praises unto you, the King. In Jesus' name we pray, thy kingdom come, yes. Thy will be done on earth.
Earth. Thank you, Lord.
As it is in heaven. In Jesus' yes. name. To his glory.
Yes.
And the whole earth will see.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank
Amen.
You,
Lord.
Thank
In
you.
Jesus
Hallelujah.
Name.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Next week. Next week.
Good word. Good word.
Thank you for a good lesson.
And
1 o'clock.
Next
week.
Hallelujah.
1 o'clock for class.
See you at 1 o'clock next week.
Yes. Thank
Amen.
You.
God bless everyone. Yes. Pray for me. I'll be praying
for you.
Look at Palm Sunday and work our way. This week, thinking of all the things that Jesus did,
yes. and
we look forward to his resurrection next Sunday.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay.